Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 36, 1 to 32, Jeremiah's ministry faithfulness amid his king's opposition. God called Jeremiah to prophesy in Judah during its apostasy until God's judgment fell on the nation. Jeremiah's ministry is then similar to what God's servants face in our era of spiritual decline. Such a calling can be marked by political opposition that seeks to cause God's servants to cease being able to do his work. Jeremiah 36, 1 to 32 reports of Jeremiah's faithfulness to his divine calling in the face of his king's opposition to Jeremiah's ministry. This passage offers a lesson for our insight, our application, and our edification. It's 32 verses long, so I'll spot read some of the more important ones. Here we go. We'll start off with the first three verses. Chapter 36, 1 to 3. Came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take you a scroll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto you against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I first spoke unto you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Well, due to the opposition of Jeremiah's previous prophetic messages delivered in the temple back in Jeremiah 7 and Jeremiah 26, according to Jeremiah 36, verse 5, he was restricted from entering the temple. So the Lord had Jeremiah write in a scroll all the words that he had spoken to Jeremiah against Israel, Judah, and the Gentile nations from the day that he began his ministry under King Josiah until the rule of Josiah's son, Jehoiakim. Now, keep in mind what a scroll is. The scroll actually has two things here, and everything is wound up on the one scroll, and the left scroll is unwound, and so you turn both scrolls this way and you read the pages as you go along. It's different than a book that we have today where you have pages in it. But the scroll is, in fact, if you unroll the scroll, it's very, very long. It's made of sheepskin most of the time in the ancient Near East. So anyway, the Lord hoped that the reading of this scroll might lead the people of Judah to fear God's impending punishment, that they might turn from their evil ways so God might forgive them. Now, why? Why did God want to do this? The cause for the plan from the Lord was that in Josiah's reign, the finding of the scroll of the Mosaic Law in the temple and its mere reading in the hearing of Josiah had led to Josiah's wholehearted repentance and his leading Judah to spiritual reforms. That happened in 2 Kings chapter 22, 1 to chapter 23, verse 27. Accordingly, the Lord hoped that Josiah and like his father, like father, like son, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, supposedly. Well, Jeremiah thus dictated the information to his scribe Barak, who wrote Jeremiah's words in a scroll. Jeremiah sent Barak to the temple to read the scroll's contents in the hearing of the people on a fast day when a crowd would be gathered at the temple for worship. He wanted to have a lot of people there. That's what he did. Now, Micaiah, who was the grandson of the scribe Shaphan, who had read the scroll of the Mosaic Law to King Jehoiakim's father Josiah, he heard Barak's reading of Jeremiah's words. And this same Micaiah reported the contents of the scroll to the princes in the king's palace. And the princes summoned Barak to come and read the scroll's contents to them. Well, when Barak had read the scroll to the princes, they were afraid of God's impending punishment and said that they would report the scroll's contents to King Jehoiakim. However, the princes doubted that King Jehoiakim might respond positively to the scroll's message, so they directed Barak to go along with Jeremiah and hide themselves, telling no one where they were hiding. When Jehoiakim was informed of the scroll, he sent for it to have it read to him. However, when the scroll was being read before Jehoiakim, who sat in front of a fire pot to keep himself warm in the winter, he took a knife and cut off several leaves as it was being read and cast them into the fire pot until the entire scroll had been destroyed. Let me read that, verses 22 and 23. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, the scroll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire in the fire pot burning in front of him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and knife and cast it into the fire that was on in the pot. A fire pot, until the entire scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the pot. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, neither did the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. So, this man is not responding like his dad did. His dad repented. But this man, he just took the scroll, cut it off, fed it into the fire. As far as he was concerned, the only thing that was good for was just keeping himself warm, not paying attention to it. Well, it's very interesting. Even when several officials interceded with King Jehoiakim not to burn the scroll, he refused to listen to them, but he destroyed the entire scroll. Indeed, King Jehoiakim was angry enough at the scroll's contents that he ordered some officials to arrest Barak and Jeremiah, but the officials were unable to find them, for the Lord had hidden them. It's very interesting. They went and hid, but the Lord made sure that when they were hidden, they were so far hidden, they couldn't find him. They couldn't find him anywhere. He obviously wasn't hiding in his house. They were going somewhere else. Nevertheless, the Lord then told Jeremiah, "Take another scroll. Write in it all the former words that had been written in the first scroll that King Jehoiakim had burned, and to tell Jehoiakim that Babylon's king would certainly come and destroy the kingdom of Judah, that Jehoiakim would have no descendant to sit on the throne of David, and that his dead body would not even be buried but left exposed to the elements." Notice the right judgment here. He had a disregard for God's word, cutting it up and putting it in the fire. God says, okay, that's the way you're going to treat my word. This is why I'm going to treat your body. Your body's not even going to be buried. It's going to be out. It's going to be rotting. So it's interesting. The judgment of God often matches the sin in many ways. They're very similar. Well, Jeremiah obeyed the Lord, dictating the context of Barak the second time, adding many more similar words to them. Jeremiah stayed faithful to his calling, though his ministry was rejected by the king. Let me just read those last several verses here. Verses 30 through 32. "Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. His dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat and in the night to the frost." It's interesting, he's trying to keep his body warm with the burning up of the Lord's scroll. Well, his body eventually would be exposed to the frost. "And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the calamity that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not." Then took Jeremiah another scroll and gave it to Barak, the scribe, the son of Benaiah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. You got the preaching. The interesting thing is the words of Jeremiah have existed. They're healed. They're still existed. Jehoiakim didn't exist. He was done away with. God's word, like he says, it shall attain what he sent it unto. It will not return to him void, but will accomplish that to which he sent it. So Jeremiah gave God's word of warning to Judah's king Jehoiakim. And regardless if Jehoiakim did not repent as had his father King Josiah, to where Jeremiah and his scribe Barak had to hide from Jehoiakim, God's prophet remained faithful in his calling, continuing to give God's word of warning and divine punishment for sin. So in application, may we, like Jeremiah, remain faithful to our calling, even if high government officials oppose it. And number two, if our ministry is thus opposed, we should take protective measures like Jeremiah to avoid needless persecution. I think it's interesting here. The Lord had never told Jeremiah to have it read and then go hide. The suggestion about hiding came from the princes. And since the princes were officials, Jeremiah and Barak obeyed the officials. That made sense. It fit with the plan of God. So sometimes God will use officials to help, or people in authority to give us advice. And if it's good advice, we obviously need to listen to it. If it's advice, it fits with the will of God. So it's interesting. Paul the Apostle did the same thing when he heard of a plot that was against him. I believe it was Thessalonica that he heard of the plot. He fled. You know, there's no need in just sitting there, you know, and letting them come and get you. So we need to use our wisdom. We need to take protective measures when we know that there is a threat that's out there. But we always continue to minister and serve the Lord. We're not supposed to be concerned. Even if we ever get to the point, we're not there yet. We're opposed by officials. We'll have to do what the Lord wants us to do. Now, obviously, we want to be kind and as submissive to the officials as we possibly can. But there is a limit, and that is where if the officials ever want us to do something that is opposite what God wants us to do, we have to obey God. That's where civil disobedience comes in. But we do it in a respectful way. We don't do it in a haughty way or trying to make a big scene about it, as many people do, or demonstrate. We just have to, and we have to leave the results of that up to the Lord. But Jeremiah remained faithful to the Lord, and the Lord blessed this man of God. A wonderful thing to do.